Picture this, right? It is 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning. A massive retail corporation's network is just humming along quietly.
Right, the classic quiet before the storm.
Exactly. And suddenly, a user logs into the system remotely. They access a highly restricted financial database, and they just silently export 2 terabytes of sensitive customer data to an offshore server.
And let me guess, zero alarms go off.
Zero. I mean, no firewalls block the transfer. The intrusion detection software doesn't even blink. And you know why? Because from the system's perspective, this wasn't a hack at all.
Right, it looked like a legitimate action.
Yeah, it was a perfectly valid login. They used the correct username and password of a senior database administrator. But the only problem is, that administrator left the company 8 months ago.
Oh man, yeah, that is the absolute nightmare scenario keeping chief information security officers awake at night.
I bet.
The industry actually has a name for it. They call it an orphaned identity.
An orphaned identity.
Yeah, it's basically an access account that gets left completely active and, you know, unmonitored long after the actual human being attached to it has moved on. And honestly, it is one of the leading vectors for just catastrophic data breaches today.
Which is exactly why you are joining us today,
Yep.
because we are looking at the invisible security architecture built specifically to stop that nightmare.
Right.
We're doing a deep dive into the machinery of identity governance and administration, or IGA. And our map for this comes from a really comprehensive technical and career guide produced by SailPoint Masters at Brawley Academy out in Hyderabad.
Yeah, and that source is fantastic because they are literally training the engineers who build these systems. So
Exactly.
it gives us this incredibly clear ground-level view of how the undisputed industry leader, which is SailPoint, actually functions under the hood.
Yeah, it's not just theory.
No, not at all. The guide serves as a brilliant lens because it doesn't just treat cybersecurity as like an abstract philosophy. It breaks down the precise technical mechanisms you need to control digital access across thousands of complex, you know, hybrid corporate networks.
Right. And it also outlines why there's currently this massive, highly lucrative scramble for the engineering talent to actually implement it.
Oh, the talent shortage is real, yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this core concept first, because I think a lot of people in the tech space conflate identity governance with just basic identity and access management, or IAM.
Oh, all the time. People mix them up constantly.
Right, because when most folks think of digital identity, they just think of Okta or Microsoft Entra, basically, you know, the login screen.
The front door.
Exactly. I kind of look at IAM as the bouncer at the front door of a secure facility, right? The bouncer checks your ID badge, verifies your biometrics, and lets you into the lobby.
Yeah, that authentication piece is definitely critical. But the bouncer stops paying attention to you the second you clear the turnstile. I mean, if you wander out of the lobby and decide to pry open the door to the server room, that bouncer at the front door has no idea.
You're just looking at the street.
Exactly. And that is where identity governance steps in. So if IAM is the bouncer, IGA is like the ubiquitous facility manager who is tracking your every single move.
I don't like that.
Yeah, they're checking if you hold the correct clearances for that server room, and they're actively revoking your key card the exact moment HR processes your termination paperwork.
But I want to push back on that slightly, though, because a lot of mid-sized organizations out there, they assume they can play facility manager just by using Microsoft Active Directory and like a diligent IT desk.
Right, the good old spreadsheet method.
Yeah, they just track user permissions on spreadsheets and manually update them. So at what point does that manual governance actually buckle?
Well, it buckles the moment the organization scales beyond a single standardized tech stack.
Okay, so it works for a little bit.
Sure, I mean, if a company only ever uses Microsoft products, manual tracking might limp along for a while. But modern enterprises just don't look like that anymore.
No, they're super complex.
Exactly. They have tens of thousands of human employees, plus external contractors, seasonal hires, offshore partners. And beyond the humans, they have thousands of non-human identities.
Wait, non-human identities,
Yeah.
like bots.
Yeah, exactly. Software bots and service accounts that are interacting with systems automatically.
And all of those identities are interacting with just a fragmented mess of applications. Like you have your core HR data in Workday, your financials are in some, you know, on-premise SAP mainframe, customer data is in Salesforce, and developer tools are in AWS.
Right, and that is precisely the issue. What's fascinating here is trying to manually map who has access to what, across 50 different unstructured application silos is just impossible.
You'd need an army of IT people.
You really would. The Brawley Academy source actually highlights a specific governance vulnerability here, and it's called privilege creep.
Privilege creep. That sounds ominous.
It really is. So imagine an employee starts in the marketing department. They get access to all the marketing tools.
Makes sense.
Then 2 years later, they transfer over to project management. The IT desk provisions their new access for the project management stuff, but they completely forget to log into the old marketing systems to revoke that original access.
Oh, so they just accumulate permissions like barnacles on a ship over the course of their career.
Exactly like barnacles. Fast forward 5 years, and that single employee holds a toxic combination of permissions spanning across three different departments.
Wow.
And if a threat actor fishes that single employee's credentials, the blast radius is astronomical, because that compromised account basically has the keys to the entire castle.
Which introduces the core technical solution that's outlined in the source, which is the identity cube.
Yes, the identity cube.
I find this concept just fascinating.
Yeah.
Because SailPoint doesn't just manage scattered accounts, right? It builds a master 360-degree digital profile for every single entity in the ecosystem.
Okay, right.
But I'm wondering, how does it actually construct that cube accurately? Like, if I'm John.Smith in the Active Directory, and then I'm JSmith01 in Salesforce, and then in the SAP payroll system, I'm just employee number 867-53009, how does the software know those all belong to the exact same physical human being?
Well, that is the heavy lifting of the IGA engine, and it basically relies on two mechanisms, connectors and correlation.
Connectors and correlation. Okay.
Yeah, so the SailPoint platform uses connectors to actively reach out and ingest data from all those disparate systems. Mm. Think of a connector as a specialized translator.
Oh.
It knows how to read the native language of an ancient Oracle database and then turn around and read a completely different language from a modern SaaS API.
So it basically vacuums up all these fragmented accounts and entitlements.
Yes.
But the correlation piece is where the real logic happens.
So. Yes, exactly. So the system defines one platform, usually it's the HR system, like Workday, as what they call the authoritative source.
Ah, so that's the ultimate truth.
Right. It pulls the foundational human data from there. Then it uses correlation rules to match all those scattered accounts back to that foundational human. It looks at email addresses, employee IDs, reporting structures, stuff like that.
Got it.
And once it links JSmith01 and 867-5309 to that central profile, the identity cube is locked in. You suddenly have total, complete visibility.
And that visibility powers what the text refers to as role-based access control, or RBAC.
Yes, RBAC is huge.
Which is a massive shift from provisioning access application by application, right?
Yeah.
Instead of IT getting a ticket that says, hey, give John access to these 20 folders, the system uses business roles.
Exactly.
So John gets hired as a senior financial analyst. The Identity Cube recognizes that role, and it automatically provisions the exact bundle of entitlements required for a senior financial analyst and absolutely nothing else.
Yes, and to take that a step further, it also powers automated access certification campaigns.
Oh, this is the compliance part.
Yeah. Historically, compliance audits involved IT emailing these massive, just unreadable spreadsheets to department managers, asking them to verify if their direct reports still needed certain permissions.
And the managers, who were already suffering from massive alert fatigue, would just blanket approve everything just to get back to their actual jobs.
Oh, 100%. It was a rubber stamp exercise that provided zero real security.
Right.
But the SailPoint architecture completely automates this. It generates a really clean interactive campaign for the manager, and it translates all those cryptic technical system entitlements into plain English business descriptions.
So the manager actually knows what they're looking at.
Exactly. They see a clean dashboard. They just click to approve or revoke, and then the system automatically writes that decision back to the target application to sever the access.
Wow.
And more importantly for the regulators, it generates cryptographic audit ready evidence that the review actually took place.
So what does this all mean for the organizations that are actually deploying it? Let's talk about the software itself for a second, because the source material makes a very distinct separation between their two flagship products.
Right. Yeah.
You have SailPoint Identity IQ, which they call IIQ, and then Identity Security Cloud, or ISC.
Mm-hmm.
If you are, you know, a chief information officer and you're charting a roadmap for your company, how do you decide which architecture to adopt?
Well, the dividing line is essentially how much legacy technical debt you carry and how much control you are willing to surrender.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Identity IQ, or IIQ, is the heavyweight on-premise solution. It is a highly customizable engine built on Java. Organizations use Java specifically to write what are called bean shell rules.
Bean shell rules.
Yeah. And these rules allow developers to create incredibly complex, bespoke logic to integrate SailPoint with archaic, decades-old mainframe systems that simply do not have modern interfaces.
Okay, so if you are like a tier one global bank running proprietary financial software that was coded back in the 1990s,
yeah,
you need IIQ because you need the ability to write custom JavaScripts to parse the weird, you know, flat files that those old mainframes spit out at midnight, map all the permissions, and force them into the identity cube.
Spot on.
Plus, you probably want the servers physically sitting in your own data center for security.
Exactly. You demand absolute sovereignty over the infrastructure. But, you know, that comes with a brutal cost because you have to manage all the upgrades yourself.
Oh, right.
Upgrading a highly customized IIQ environment can take months of planning. You're talking weekend outages, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that sounds painful. So what about the other option?
On the other side, you have Identity Security Cloud, ISC. This is the software as a service model, and it's built on their modern Atlas platform. It's hosted in the cloud, managed by SailPoint, and it receives continuous, seamless updates.
Okay, but the friction there, though, is that migrating from IIQ to ISC isn't just a simple software update, right? I mean, it's a total architectural paradigm shift.
It really is.
Because you have to abandon all those highly customized Java bean shell rules and move towards standardized REST APIs.
Exactly. It forces an organization to standardize. ISC relies heavily on REST APIs, which essentially act as universal digital translators between cloud applications.
Got it.
So you do sacrifice the deep, ground-up Java customization of IIQ, but in return, you gain a lightweight, continuously compliant system that is perfectly suited for a cloud-first corporate environment.
That makes a lot of sense. And understanding those mechanics really explains the staggering regulatory pressure driving the adoption of both these platforms.
Oh, the pressure is immense.
Because the Brawley Academy text explicitly ties this technology to major compliance frameworks. We're talking SOX for corporate finance, IPA for healthcare data, GDPR for European privacy, and even RBI guidelines for the Indian banking sector.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the regulators are just no longer accepting the "we have a strong firewall" excuse.
Right, it doesn't fly anymore?
Not at all. Under frameworks like SOX, if a public company cannot mathematically prove exactly who had access to its financial reporting systems and prove that a manager actively certified that access, they fail the audit.
And the fines for that are crippling.
Absolutely crippling.
And this ties directly into the concept of segregation of duties, or SOD, which is a foundational pillar of these audits. You mentioned the risk of a single user holding too much power earlier.
Yes.
SOD basically prevents a user from holding a toxic combination of permissions that could enable fraud. Like, you cannot have the exact same employee authorized to both create a new vendor account in the system and also approve a massive payment to that vendor.
Exactly. That is exactly the kind of risk the Identity Cube targets. If an organization uses SailPoint, they can program those SOD policies globally.
So it's automated.
Entirely. If an IT admin tries to grant the payment approval entitlement to a user who already holds the vendor creation entitlement, the system instantly flags the violation, blocks the provisioning, and routes it for a high-level security review.
Wow. And I guess this brings us to the underlying philosophy governing all of this, which is zero trust architecture.
Yes. Zero trust is the buzzword of the decade.
Right. The NIST Digital Identity Guidelines essentially state that the old castle and moat security model is dead. You just cannot assume someone is safe just because they're connected to the corporate Wi-Fi anymore.
No, especially not today.
Because in a world of remote work and cloud apps, the perimeter has completely dissolved. The identity itself is the new and really the only perimeter.
That's beautifully put. Zero trust demands that you verify every single transaction, regardless of where it originates. But, you know, you cannot execute a zero trust strategy without a perfectly governed identity foundation.
Because you don't know who is who.
Right. If you don't know with absolute certainty who the user is, what context they are operating in, and what their baseline access should be, you have nothing to verify against. IGA is really the engine that makes zero trust mathematically possible.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for you listening, especially if you're looking at the broader tech landscape. Because the stakes for compliance are just existential at this point, and the technical hurdles of integrating mainframes and cloud APIs are so massive, there is a severe shortage of engineers who actually know how to build this architecture.
It is a massive bottleneck.
Yeah. The Source provides this fascinating window into the career boom surrounding SailPoint, specifically highlighting the explosion of global delivery centers in India.
The demand metrics are staggering. They really are. Global systems, integrators, you know, companies like Deloitte, Accenture, TCS, Wipro, they are aggressively scaling up their identity governance practices.
Right.
And they're centering these operations in major tech hubs like Hyderabad, Bengaluru, Pune, and Chennai, largely because they simply cannot staff these projects fast enough to meet Fortune 500 demand.
Well, when you look at the compensation data provided in the guide, it really reflects a market in a state of desperation for specialized talent.
Oh, absolutely.
We are looking at fresh engineers with 0 to 2 years of experience, stepping into roles starting between 4 to 7 lakhs annually in the Indian market.
For entry level, yeah.
Mid-level developers are commanding 9 to 16 lakhs. And by the time you reach the architect level with, say, a decade of experience, compensation scales from 30 to well over 50 lakhs.
And honestly, those figures make total sense when you consider the unique blend of skills required.
It's not just coding?
Not at all. An IGA architect is not just writing code. They have to understand corporate compliance law. They need the analytical skills to map really messy business processes into logical RBAC structures. And on top of all that, they need the hard technical chops to execute the integrations.
So let's break down that technical stack, actually, because the guide offers a very clear roadmap for someone who might be pivoting into this space. We touched on Java earlier for the IIQ platform.
No.
And I know that scares a lot of pure cybersecurity analysts away, but how deep does your Java knowledge actually need to be?
Well, it is a common deterrent, but honestly, it shouldn't be. To be a senior developer working on complex on-premise identity IQ deployments, yes, you need to understand Java to write those bean shell rules we discussed.
Right.
You also need a really strong command of SQL because you are constantly querying and troubleshooting these massive relational databases that store all the identity cube data.
Okay, so that's the heavy on-prem side. But what if you are working primarily in the identity security cloud ecosystem?
Then the toolkit shifts completely. It becomes much more focused on web services. You need to intimately understand REST APIs, JSON data structures, and generally how modern SaaS applications authenticate with one another.
That feels a lot more approachable for people coming from modern web development.
It is, and that is definitely the modern trajectory. Furthermore, the Source makes a highly reassuring point for beginners. You can start without writing a single line of code.
Really? No code at all?
Seriously. The initial learning curve is really about mastering the governance logic. If you understand the life cycle of an identity, how to configure an access certification campaign, and how to define a correlation rule in the user interface, you can provide immediate value to a deployment team.
That's incredible. And the timeline outlined by Brawley Academy suggests that with structured, hands-on lab training, like actually spinning up a test environment, building connectors, and running an aggregation of professional, can transition into a job-ready IGA candidate in roughly 3 to 6 months.
Yep, 3 to 6 months.
I mean, it is an intense sprint, but the barrier to entry is way lower than those massive salaries would imply.
The critical factor there is hands-on exposure. You cannot just memorize identity governance from a textbook.
You have to get in the weeds.
Exactly. You have to experience the friction of trying to correlate a messy Active Directory feed against a misconfigured HR database to truly understand why these automated policies are so valuable.
Well, we have mapped out a massive ecosystem today. We moved past the front door of basic authentication to explore how identity governance acts as the relentless facility manager of the digital enterprise.
It's a huge shift in perspective.
We unpack the architecture of the identity cube, exploring how connectors and correlation wrangle chaotic data into a single source of truth.
And we examine the harsh realities forcing the adoption, how the terrifying risks of orphaned identities, privilege creep, and toxic segregation of duties violations are driving companies toward zero trust frameworks.
Right. And we weighed the heavy customizable Java engine of Identity IQ against the modern API-driven agility of Identity Security Cloud.
A lot of ground covered.
Ultimately, we traced how that complex technical reality has spawned a lucrative global career boom for those who are willing to master the intersection of coding, compliance, and systems integration. But there's one final detail in the source material that presents a pretty fascinating complication for the future.
Oh, the AI integration.
Yes. The guide briefly mentions that SailPoint is heavily integrating artificial intelligence and machine learning into the platform to provide predictive analytics.
And this raises an important question because it is a profound shift. The AI is now analyzing billions of identity data points across enterprises to actively suggest access decisions.
So it's not just a passive dashboard anymore.
No, not at all.
No.
Instead of just showing a manager a list, the AI might flag a specific permission and say, hey, based on behavioral analytics, this level of access is highly anomalous for this user's peer group. We strongly recommend revoking it.
Which, I mean, that sounds incredibly efficient for combating manager fatigue during those access reviews.
Yeah.
But it introduces a massive philosophical vulnerability.
Be real those.
Because if the entire premise of identity governance is to build a mathematically verifiable, heavily audited system to prevent human error and insider threats,
yeah.
What happens when we just hand the keys over to an algorithm? If a machine learning model hallucinates, or it contains some hidden bias in its training data, and it automatically provisions a toxic combination of permissions who catches it, like, how do auditors even verify the decision-making process of a black box AI acting as the ultimate gatekeeper, the identity cube?
It completely inverts the governance model, doesn't it? We built these massive platforms to govern human behavior, but the next frontier of cybersecurity is really figuring out how to govern the AI that is governing us.
That is the exact kind of problem the next generation of IGA architects is going to have to solve. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the invisible scaffolding of the digital world. Whether you're auditing your own corporate perimeter, or considering a highly lucrative pivot into the identity space, or just, you know, questioning who actually holds the keys to your data, keep analyzing the systems around you. Until next time.